Good morning and welcome.
Good morning.
Glad to have you all here on this World Communion Sunday. I'm the Reverend Mark Gowan. I'm pastor here, and I'll be leading worship today. Dorothy Driscoll will be our liturgist today. Earl Linhart is directing our choir, and Lynn Meyer is playing the organ for us this morning. If you're visiting with us in the sanctuary, I invite you to fill out one of the friendship cards that are located in the pew racks in front of you and leave it in the offering plates that are at the back of the sanctuary. If you're visiting with us online this morning, I invite you to leave a message on our Facebook page. And if you want to know more about this congregation, I invite you to call the church office at 614-882-3155. We will be celebrating communion on this World Communion Sunday, and worshipers here in the church are invited to take a little communion kit that are located at the doors over here. If you didn't get one, you could slip out and get one or have the usher bring you one. If you're at home, you can prepare some juice and bread for your communion at home. Children in the sanctuary today will stay with their parents and partake of communion with their families here this morning. We have a few announcements to share this morning. First, the flowers are given by Jim and Marilyn Hines in celebration of their 50th wedding anniversary. So, today is the crop walk, and Bob Place has come all the way from Atlanta to tell us about it here. So.
The crop walk is today. We couldn't get a better weather day. Cool enough to be not sweating and hot enough to not be freezing. And no chance of rain. We're going to gather in Worthington across from the fire station on High Street. And you are certainly welcome to join us, even if you have not yet signed up to do that. It's only a mile and a half walk, that's the minimum, and then the maximum is 3 miles. You could walk farther if you want. The big thing, of course, besides the walk, is to the money that we raise from the walk, and just remind you to get your money into the church office, and it'll be going to make it out for First Presbyterian Church and make a note on it, crop, and that will get the money to the proper spot. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Bob. Next Sunday, we have a special event in our church, and I'm going to invite Gary Hinsman to get up and talk about that.
Thank you, Mark, and good morning. Next Sunday, we really have an opportunity in the afternoon at 4 p.m. to welcome the St. Paul AME Church Men's Chorus to provide a wonderful, inspiring concert for us at 4 p.m. This is a wonderful opportunity to share with our fellow Christians in the music program. You might consider inviting a friend to this concert if you wish, or a family member, but most of all, if you can be here, please do so. It will be followed by a dessert opportunity for fellowship in our fellowship hall. Thank you very much. Look forward to seeing you there.
Thank you, Gary. Again, that's next Sunday at 4 p.m. There's other announcements. I'll let you scan the bulletins for that. I will mention that the fourth Monday Faith Discussion Group is looking at the topic of homelessness. We're using the book Grace Can Lead Us Home by Kevin Nye. I bought a few extra copies for people to take and invited people to take them just to read it, even if you didn't want to be part of the discussion group. And apparently that was popular because they're all gone. But I have ordered in some more. So if you'd like to read about how Christians can address homelessness, you can pick those books up in my office when they arrive. So hopefully they'll arrive this week. And now let us begin our worship with the music of the prelude.
Good morning, and please join me in the call to worship. Let us praise the Lord our God with all our hearts. Lily, we will sing and praise our God. We shall bow down in the holy sanctuary of the One Most High. Will love us forever. Let us worship God together. Please join me in the prayer of confession. We are embarrassed to admit, O God, How seldom we have thanked you for the many gifts in our lives. You have given us so much that we have learned not to notice. Forgive us and touch us to see with new eyes. Help us to share ours, our abundance, that we will understand what it means to be part of the body of Christ and the human community. Amen. The assurance of forgiveness. Beloved of God, nothing can separate you from the love of God made known in Christ Jesus. Know that your sins are forgiven.
Please be seated. Wanted to take a moment and speak to the young and the young at heart among us. As you can see up here, we are set up for communion today, and today is World Communion Sunday. And what that means is that churches all over town, all over the state, all over the country, and even all over the world are celebrating communion today, all of us on one day, which is quite a thought, isn't it, to think of everybody gathered around a table like this, wherever they may be. In fact, I was thinking maybe we'd take a moment and have you close your eyes a minute and imagine somebody that you know who's not with you right now, and imagine them. Picture them in your mind and imagine them being here, sitting right next to you today. Or you might think of somebody who you know who is far away, like maybe really far away, like maybe a grandparent or a cousin or a friend who moved away, and imagine they're sitting right next to you here this morning. Or you might imagine somebody you don't know, maybe somebody who lives in another country somewhere. Close your eyes and picture somebody who lives in another country, and today they have come and sit right next to you this morning. Well, now you can open your eyes, but I want you to keep those thoughts in mind, because that's sort of what World Communion Sunday is all about, is us imagining that those people in other places are sitting around with you here this morning. And they be there thinking about you sitting with them this morning. Now, of course, we know that isn't really happening. But on World Communion, we think about how we're all connected that way. And we all are sitting around the table with Jesus. And so when communion comes later this morning, I just want you to think that we're all sitting around a great big table with Jesus. Let us pray. Almighty God, we thank you for the gift of communion and for the chance to share communion not only with everybody in this church, but with people in churches all over the world, and that together we give you praise. Amen.
Initiating conflict is very easy to accomplish. Preventing conflict is more difficult and requires a sustained effort. Resolving conflict once it has been initiated exponentially increases the difficulty of resolving it. It may even become an unattainable goal. One way to make an impact on is to consider a monetary contribution to the annual Presbyterian peacemaking offering. The Peace and Global Witness offering encourages the church to cast off anxiety and fear, discord and division, and embrace our God's mission of reconciliation to those around the corner and around the world. A gift to the Peace and Global Witness offering enables the church to promote the peace of Christ by addressing systems of conflict and injustice across the world. Individual congregations are encouraged to utilize up to 25% of the offering, and we do this by contributing additional funds to WARM, Westerville Area Resource Ministry, and to connect with the global witness of Christ's peace. The Mid-Councils retain another 25% for ministries of peace and reconciliation. The remaining 50% is used by the Presbyterian Mission Agency to advocate for peace and justice in cultures of violence, including our own, and through collaborative projects of education and Christian witness. Each time I think about preparing a minute for mission for the annual Presbyterian peacemaking offering, I'm inspired to think about what we as individuals can do to contribute to the peace at all levels in our society. To me, this is even more important than the monetary contribution you may be considering to offer. If we think about how we can contribute each day with our own personal interactions, we can and will make a significant contribution which will ripple through our society and greater community, just like our program of random acts of kindness. It costs us nothing monetarily, but the personal rewards return to us and the carryover effects can be long-lasting. Tell your loved ones you love them each day if possible. Keep and nurture an infinite store of forgiveness. Develop a personal culture of unconditional love for family and friends. Follow the teachings of Jesus and accept him as your Lord and Savior. This was the charge to a bride and groom and to the attendees at a wedding that I attended. Once you have fostered peace within yourself, your nuclear family and your extended family and friends, it is quite easy to transition to accomplishing this in the greater outside community. Please consider a contribution to the Presbyterian Church Peacemaking Offering today on World Communion Sunday. Let us also rededicate ourselves to the principles we hear and recite each Sunday here in our service as we interact with other people on a daily basis. In closing, hear this Bible reference that has particular importance and significance at this time in our lives. From the book of James, chapter 3, verse 17. But then wisdom from above is pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. Thank you.
The scripture for today is Old Testament, Isaiah 25, 6 to 10. And it's all about banquets and food again, because this is Communion Sunday. On this mountain, the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of rich food, a feast of well-matured wines. The rich food will be filled with marrow, of well-matured wines that are strained clear. And he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all people, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death as ever. Then the Lord God will wipe away the tears up from all faces. And the disgrace of his people he will take away from all the earth, for the Lord has spoken. It will be said on that day, lo, This is our God that we have waited for him so that he might save us. This is the Lord for whom we have waited. Let us be glad and rejoice in his salvation, for the hand of the Lord will rest on this mountain. Thank you for the word of the Lord.
I want to say before I start, it's so special to have two special mission giving opportunities this morning, the crop walk and the peacemaking offering, and thank Bob and Gary for promoting both of those. If you can give to both, that's great. If only one, that's good. And if you can't give to either, please pray for both ministries. Appreciate that. Let us pray. Lord God, as we ponder the scripture read this morning, we ask for the help of your Holy Spirit to come and work amongst us and within me as we reflect upon these words this morning, so that we might come to understand them and grow in faith through them. Amen. John Wesley was the founder of the Methodist Church. And there's a story told about him, about a dream he once had. And in this dream, Wesley was transported to the gates of hell. And there he asked, "Are there any Presbyterians here?" And a voice replied, "Yes." And then Wesley asked again, "Are there any Roman Catholics here?" And "Yes" was the reply. "Any Congregationalists?" Again, "Yes." He hesitated, and then he said, "Not any Methodists, I hope." But to his dismay, the answer was yes. And then suddenly, in that same dream, Wesley stood at the gates of heaven. And once again, he asked, "Are there any Presbyterians here?" And the answer came back, "No." "And are there any Roman Catholics here?" The answer was no. "Any Congregationalists?" "No." And then Wesley asked the question that most interested him, "Are there any Methodists here?" And he was shocked to receive the stern reply, "No." "Well then," he asked in surprise, "please tell me who is in heaven." "Christians," was the jubilant reply. On this Sunday, the Methodists and the Congregationalists and Roman Catholics and Presbyterians and Free Churchers and non-denominationalists gather around Christ's table to proclaim that we are all Christian. And in so doing, fulfill, at least for a day, Wesley's vision of heaven here on earth. Today we are celebrating the Lord's Supper, like we do on the first Sunday of every month. But on this particular Sunday, the first Sunday in October, we join in celebrating the sacrament with Christians of every stripe in every corner of the world. World Communion Sunday, however, is actually a gift of the Presbyterians to the larger church. It was first celebrated at Shadyside Presbyterian Church in Pittsburgh in 1933. It grew out of a division of their stewardship commission at Shadyside. It was their attempt to bring churches together in a service of Christian unity in which everyone might receive both inspiration and information, and above all, know how important the Church of Jesus Christ is and how each congregation is interconnected with one another. The pastor of the church at that time was the Reverend Hugh Kerr, and his son, Donald, described those early days. The concept spread very slowly at the start. People did not give it a whole lot of thought. It was during the Second World War that the spirit caught hold, because we were trying to hold the world together. Worldwide communion symbolized an effort to hold things together in a spiritual sense. It emphasized that we are one in the Spirit and in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Kerr's words seem to speak to our world even today, maybe especially today. We live in a fractured and fracturing world, and we serve in a fractured and fracturing church. And we need something that will hold us all together. Worldwide communion may just be that spiritual glue that holds both the church and the world together. And perhaps the communion table is one of the best places to do just that. Christian author Harry Jones writes, "Sharing tables is one of the most uniquely human things we do. No other creature consumes food at a table. And sharing tables with other peoples remind us that there is more to food than fuel. We don't eat only for sustenance." And I think he's right. We don't. We eat for all sorts of reasons. We eat to celebrate birthdays and anniversaries. We have dinner with friends to build that friendship. We take our dates to dinner to establish a relationship. Business deals are conducted at restaurant tables. We cheer our teams from folding tables behind tailgate grills. All sorts of community activities are centered around tables, both in the larger community and within the church. Right, Sharon? Who sets many of the tables here? The meal is one of the most important places of human connection. We are most fully alive when sharing a meal around a table. And therefore, we shouldn't be surprised that throughout the Bible, God has a way of showing up at tables. Our passage this morning from Isaiah is one of those passages. The verses that we read this morning come after a whole chapter that spoke of the worldwide destruction that would come because of human sin. And then we read that out of that destruction will come redemption. And that redemption will feature the world gathering at God's table for a feast beyond description. Meals were just as common in the New Testament. From Jesus eating with tax collectors and sinners to his feeding of the 5,000, we read that Jesus used meals as a way to connect with the people. New Testament scholar N.T. Wright captured this aspect of Jesus' ministry when he wrote, "When Jesus wanted to explain to his disciples what his forthcoming death was all about, he didn't give them a theory, he gave them a meal." A meal, not arguments of theology. Jesus was telling us that our relationships are to overcome our differences in thought and doctrine. That we need to be connected to one another to be the body of Christ. World Communion Sunday is one time that we symbolically enact that commitment, that connection over a meal. The brokenness of our world comes to us each night in the evening news, each day across our social media feeds. We see destruction from natural disasters, such as we see in Florida and Cuba recently. We see destruction from human disasters, such as the war in Ukraine or the shootings in Columbus. People are at each other's throats, figuratively and sometimes literally. Neighbors fight with neighbors. Church members turn their back on church members. The whole world seems unable to get along. And yet, when we approach this table, we are reminded that God cares for each and every one of us. We are welcome to the spiritual feast just as we are, with our talents and our flaws, with all of our struggles as well as all of our joys. When we come to this table on this Sunday, we join not only with each other here, but with our brothers and sisters around the world and our brothers and sisters right down the street. Brothers and sisters who are struggling just like we are. They are our friends and they are our strangers. And we are all celebrating the oneness in the body of Christ just like we are. People who are in need of being bathed in God's grace, just like we are. People who desire to see God's reign of peace and justice on this earth. In a sense, we are enacting what Isaiah saw in our passage this morning. Isaiah described that when God's reign happens, he will destroy on this mountain the shroud that is cast over all peoples, the sheet that is spread over all nations. He will swallow up death forever. Then the Lord will wipe away the tears from all faces, and the disgrace of his people will be taken away from all the earth. When this great moment comes, there will be a feast beyond all feasts. On that day, all that is wrong will be made right, all that is broken will be made whole, and there is going to be an extravagant meal to celebrate. In her book, Making Room, Recovering Hospitality as a Christian Tradition, theologian Christine Pohl observed, "A shared meal is the activity most closely tied with the reality of God's kingdom, just as it is the most basic expression of hospitality." And so we are invited to gather around this table to share this meal with Presbyterians, Catholics, Congregationalists, Methodists, and every other gathering of Christians, just as we do. And maybe in so doing, we'll catch a glimpse of that heavenly banquet that Isaiah envisioned. Maybe, just maybe, the shroud that is cast over our world will be lifted just a bit, just for a moment. But in that moment, our world will begin to heal. We can begin to heal. Amen. Please be seated. We come before God in prayer, and as we do, we lift up those who are in particular need of prayer. O Lord, hear our prayers. Gracious and loving God, we come to you today in the name of your Son, Jesus. It is good to be able to have this time to put aside the cares of life and the busyness of living. We are hurrying about planning, preparing, fixing, organize, and worrying about how everything is going to turn out. Even while attending worship, those thoughts tend to drown out your voice and what you want to say to us. We do want to hear from you because we need to know anew that today you are here with us and that you love us. We need that assurance that as we walk through this journey of life, you walk with us. For some, this present moment is filled with disappointment or impairment or heartache, and their circumstances may be dreadful and filled with reasons for sadness or sorrow. They need you, and they need us, and the comfort of being in fellowship with you and with each other. Help us to be sensitive to the needs of our brothers and sisters, especially when our brothers and sisters in faith are hidden from us. Help us to speak a word of encouragement, whether that word is spoken in person or sent via a text or an email or even a letter. We do care about each other, and we want to show it. In this disconnected world, we need you to provide us with connections, connections with family, with friends, even with strangers. Our prayers reach out to them as well as we seek your strength, your wisdom, your courage on their behalf and ours. Bless all your children with the love of Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, this is the table of the Lord. And people from near and far will come and gather at the table of the Lord. This is the Lord's table. It's not a Presbyterian table or a Catholic table or a Congregationalist table or a Methodist table. It is the Lord's table. And it is here we gather, and it is here the Lord welcomes us. Join me in the great thanksgiving. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and our praise.
Let us pray. It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, O Lord, our God, creator and ruler of the universe. Even when we were dust, when our story begins in dust, you were there. Your word was there. You breathed into the lifeless void, and upon your word, all creation sprung into life. When we were in the wilderness, terrified and timid, you were there. Your word was there, with manna just enough for the day, and water even from the driest rock, and with the abundant grace on which our story always rests. When we fell short, slaves to power and greed, you were there, your word was there, on the lips of prophets and in the hearts of servants, in the stories of revolution and revelation, calling us even now to acts of courage and witness and peace. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with choirs of angels, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all the faithful in every time and place, who forever sing to the glory of your name. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Indeed, blessed are you, O Christ, our Lord, for risking yourself among us, vulnerable and rejected, for teaching among us, teaching the radical hope of God, teaching the grace, your grace, to a world bent on vengeance, teaching love to a world bent on destruction, teaching peace to a world bent on tearing itself apart. You were there, and your word was there, even to the point of death itself, even faced with the terror and hatred and brokenness of the world, you rose again to new life, to new creation, to resurrection, that we might know something other than dust, that we might expect something other than the end, that we might work for something other than ourselves. And so again, you speak to us with those abundant gifts of bread and the cup, with which we fully celebrate your dying and rising, as we await the table of the kingdom yet to come, and as we dedicate ourselves again to you, thankful and transformed, as living and holy sacrifices, that our lives may proclaim the leader crucified and risen. As this bread is the Christ's body for us, form us to be the body of Christ in the world. Send us with a spirit of courage, a spirit of power and love, that we may be witnesses to all in all creation to the unending story of your word breathing life into the dust, keeping us faithful and fruitful, hopeful and peaceful, until we come at last to that one table of your kingdom to feast with all your saints in the joy of your eternal realm, with you and your word through Christ and in Christ, now and forever. Amen. And so it was that on the night that our Lord was crucified, he gathered with his disciples on the upper room, and there he sat down at a meal, at a table to share a meal with them. And after having given thanks, he took the bread and he broke it and said, "This is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And so I invite you now to partake of the communion wafer and thereby partake of the body of Christ. Same way, our Lord took the cup and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, my blood poured out for you. As often as you eat this bread and drink from this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again." And so I invite you now to partake of the cup and share in Christ's life-giving life, death, and resurrection. Let us pray. Lord God, we have come to your table and you have fed us this sumptuous feast of your love. May we now go from this table and share that love with neighbor, friend, and stranger, and all the world. Amen. Amen. at the beginning of the service. Today is Crop Walk Sunday, and we have several who are walking. If you're a walker here in the sanctuary, raise your hand today. You know, several. And there are others within the church and within the community who will be walking today, and this dedication is for them and for us. And if you would join with me, the dedication found in the insert. CROP provides emergency food relief to displaced persons following disasters and provides help for the poor to be self-sufficient with gardens, food, and water.
We walk and sponsor to help lessen the pain of poverty.
Those that we will help are our sisters and brothers created by God, refugees from Afghanistan, Syria, Eritrea, Venezuela, Sudan, and many other countries forced to flee for their lives in fear of war and insurgents, and then live in poverty. They will walk to find safety, food, survival, and a better life.
We walk and sponsor because we care. May our efforts enhance their lives.
They are our kin. Workers in foreign countries trying to send meager money home to help their parents support their families.
We walk and sponsor because we care. May our efforts nurture their hope.
They are our fellow Americans displaced by hurricanes, poverty, stereotyping, fear, and prejudice, and trying to find a way to live a life with meaning and dignity while providing for their families. Some of them live here in Westerville, and a quarter of the money we raise goes to warm.
We want to walk and sponsor because we care. May our sisters and brothers live dignified and meaningful lives, and help make this world less fearful and dangerous.
As we all walk and sponsor together, renew our sense of kinship to one another. We are all one on the earth that supports each of us. Help us, O God, to see your love in every life that you have created, every sister and every brother. We know you will walk with us, O God. You're always right here with us. Help us to realize that we are not superior to, inferior to, nor separated from as a single human being. It does not matter what an individual's race, nationality, religion is. Nurture us and show us the opportunities that our hope, our generosity, and our love can provide. We dedicate our walk and our resources to making the world a loving world. Amen. And now, may the walkers go and enjoy a wonderful afternoon. May the rest of you go and enjoy the love of God this day and always. Amen. Thank you.